Okay, so if you turn your chumashim to Perek Yud Tes at the beginning, that's mostly where we're going to be, but we're also going to go to Chaf Dalet. So if you have a chumash with you, you should also turn to Perek Yud Tes. Truth is, it's very confusing. I spent a lot of time with Shabbos trying to sort through the order, the sequence of events that took place in Matan Torah. There's a big machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam, whether the Torah is in order in these prakim. I'm just going to give you very briefly what Rosh Hashanah Hirsch says, but I'm not going to really focus on that. I'm just going to use that as the basis of where I want to talk about the other things. Basically, according to Rosh Hashanah Hirsch, what happened to the beginning of the Perek Yud Tes, the wives had seen me, and what the initial conversation that Hashem wants them to know about, which is telling them in general if they are, that they're a Klal Yisrael that's about to engage in this great episode. They're going to be told that they're a chosen nation and what it means to be a Melechus Kana of the Kaddish. And once they heard that, he's supposed to tell the Klal Yisrael, he tells us that there's a Canaan. And everyone accepts that. I'm just really, really gazing quickly. If you look at Pastor Zion and Tess, Moshe came down with that report, and everybody responded when they heard this and saying, yeah, Masa, we accept that test. Most of them goes back to Hashem, and he says, yeah, everyone's in. Everybody accepts that. And he thinks that's all he needs. But Hashem then says, I'm going to come to you in a very dramatic way. It's not just that I'm going to communicate with you. That, you know, you're convinced that they're ready for this, but actually I'm going to communicate you in a very dramatic way in the thickness of the cloud, Ba'ab and Onan, so that they're going to really know this is the real deal. They're going to witness me talking to you, and this is the famous pasuk, the Gam B'chol Yamin La'olam, they believe that you are the true Navi, and this will verify the truth of the Torah. So the way he understands Moshe's response was he doesn't get it. The end of Pasuk says, Moshe says, Vayageh Moshe, Divrei Omer Hashem. So he told them, he says, he says he basically repeated what happened before. Moshe says, I don't get it. Why do we need to be so dramatic about things? I already told you that the nation is accepting this and they're ready for it. They're obviously on a high level, and everything's going to be fine. So I don't see the need for this drama, because they're all in. And Hashem's response to that is, I know better than you, Moshe. And if you look at Sukkim Yud in the next few, the next four Sukkim, basically Hashem says, no, we're doing it my way. Everyone has to tevel and separate themselves and be ready in 3 days' time. Then we're going to have the great thing, and it's going to be as dramatic as I planned, because they're not what you think they are right now. This is actually going to be a long process of getting Klal Yisrael ready. And they won't even be ready in Mount Torah. This is going to be thousands of years of getting the Jewish people ready. Don't think that it's an instant thing. It doesn't happen that way. At the beginning, and Hirsch has a long piece here, but this is one of the most important things that we need to hear about religion, about our religion. It's not a religion like every other religion. We're not there yet. And this is the ideal that's told to us by Hashem. And we have to strive and get somewhere way beyond ourselves. Other religions, it comes from what they think of, and they come from some way to connect to God. Our religion is coming from Hashem, and we have to strive and find our way to get there, ultimately, because of history. So they all got ready, and then the third day, everyone's ready for the greater moments and all this fire and lightning show. Okay. And look what happens here. This to me, I don't know where I've been all these years. I had it, maybe because I was using Rashi, and maybe Rashi doesn't know like this. But the way Hirsch understands it, after Moshe, after the whole lightning show, which is not yet Matan Torah, so Hashem, Pasuk Chaf, Hashem calls Moshe Rabbeinu to come up to the mountain. Moshe goes up to the mountain. And what does Hashem tell Moshe on top of this mountain? He tells him, go down, leave the mountain. That's the next pasuk. Vayom Hashem Moshe, raise, go down, Ba'ivam, and make sure, warn the people, because there's a possibility they may forget the rules, but they can't climb up to the mountain, it's very dangerous. Go down and warn them. So, okay, he goes down. Pasuk Chafe, all that's the introduction of the warning. So he says, first he says, I can't, you know, no one can, because the rules are the rules. Aren't they gonna not keep the rule? I'm gonna keep the rules. So Hashem says, just listen to me. Tell them, warn them, it's dangerous. They better all know not to go up. Moshe has a lot of confidence in Klal Yisrael. Hashem is saying, this is not Pasha. Warn them. The Pasuk Chafe, Ayorid Moshe Alam. So Moshe goes down. And then all of a sudden, the next paragraph says a divorce start. So I don't know about you, but when I, you know, well, my impressions from previous years, and trying to decipher the whole order here, I somehow thought Moshe Rabbeinu was up at Hasinai during the Seres HaDibros. Not true. Hirsch writes explicitly in two places here, Moshe was down there with all the people. Hashem was speaking the Seres HaDibros, and Moshe, we just read the last pasuk compared to the test, he was down there. And now, together with the people, he was hearing the Seres HaDibros. Later he's going to go up to get the Luchos, with them written on, with Hashem's Tzav. That's a different part of the story. But the hearing of the Aseret HaDibros, Moshe was together with the people down at the bottom of the mountain. And Hirsch writes that was critical for them, for everyone to understand that Moshe Ben is a human being. He may be on a higher level, but he's not a different kind of human being. He's just a much higher level human being. And he too needs to hear from Hashem. Again, to prove the point that Bachar is endless, it comes from Hashem, and he's among us, a human receiving from Hashem. We witnessed it together with him. And then we said, and according to this, all Aseres HaDibros with Moshe. And then if you fast forward, later on, after Aseres HaDibros, there's more that goes on. Machlokes Hisa the Ramban says that even the whole Parshas Mishpatim was heard with Moshe standing with them. Hirsch doesn't understand that. He says that Moshe was already pulled back up, and he heard Mishpatim up at Har Sinai. Because eventually, he is told to go back up. It's pasuk. Here it is. It's Perkha pasuk Yerches. That's where Moshe does go up. But exactly which part did he hear from that? That's already room for discussion. You look at Vayamar Omer Rachot Moshe Nigash El Haroso Asher Shana Lachim. So he does go up at some point. But according to Hirsch, he was down there for the whole Aseres HaDibros, and then he's pulled up afterwards. Okay, but there's a lot more. Well, next week we'll sort through some of that more in. But I just thought that was, to me, that was a really surprising thing that I probably should have known all along, and somehow missed out on that. Anyway, what I really wanted to talk to you about is a couple of very beautiful things here. Turn back to Perkei Tes, Pasuk Dalet. So in those introductory psukim, and Hashem tells Moshe he's supposed to tell the people before all of this happens. Hashem starts with, Atem Me'isem Asher Asisi L'Mitzrayim. You saw what I did to Mitzrayim. V'esla Eschem Alkante Nisharim. I carried you on the wings of eagles. V'ovi Eschem Eloi Avotzi to me. Meaning here, Pasinei. So Hirsch points out, that's one place where Hashem said, you saw. And if you hold your place on, put one hand over here and look ahead to Perek Chaf Pasuk Yitzes. That's right where we just said Moshe goes up, right? And have a look there on Pasuk Yotes. There it says, Ayom Hashem al Moshe, Kosomar al Bnei Yisrael. This is what you need to tell Klal Yisrael. According to what I just told you, Moshe had just experienced hearing the Aseret HaDibros together with Klal Yisrael, at least the first two, according to Rashi, but they all together heard Hashem speaking, at least for that. It's not the whole Aseret HaDibros, plus more. You heard Hashem speaking. Atem re'isem, ki min ha-shamayim dibarti mochem. That I spoke to you from Shemayim. So Hirsch points out, this is a critical thing about the truth of our Torah. I'm just going to read you directly what he says. He points out both these two places, Atem re'isem, both places you saw it. The two fundamental truths on which all of Judaism rests. Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, stand entirely on the basis of the actual evidence of your senses. And since they were seen, heard, and felt and experienced simultaneously by so many hundreds of thousands of people, millions, any possibility of deception is ruled out. And that's just a davar pashut. We've all heard it, but you know, we're getting ready for Shavuos. It's not a bad idea to remind ourselves. These are the tzukim Hashem is reminding us. It's clear as day if you were there, you saw it for yourself. Okay, let's talk for a minute about this message that you're a chosen people. So the next passage, Vata, Yishmatishma'u v'koli, Yishmatim esti. See, if you listen to my voice, you guard my bris, my covenant. Yisem li segula, v'kola amen, ki we call aretz. I know there's a Rashi out there. I'm not going with Rashi's chant. This is Hershey's chant. You'll be for me segula. Well, he understands this is a command. I don't know if it's one of the Tariq mitzvahs or this is just a precondition to be a Jewish people. But it's not that you're the chosen people, but rather, if you're going to keep this deal, then what's needed is for you to be segula. And he says that the word segula means an exclusive possession. And he has three or four psukim and gemaras where the term is used that way. Something that's exclusively owned. Relevant to our relationship with Hashem, he says, this means we have to commit to become Hashem's possession, completely and exclusively His, with every fiber of our being. Everything of our nature, there's no part-time Jew and then part-time I have my own life and the things that I'm in the mood to do. Our whole existence and all our aspirations should be dependent on Hashem alone. He and no other force, no other being, should shape our way of life and give direction to our actions. And then the pasuk continues, and it says, "Ki li kol aretz," because the whole world, the whole earth is mine. Again, this is not Rashi's chant. This is Hirsch's chant, and it's very, very typical of Hirsch to say the following. The reason why I need you Jews to be Jews is because I care about the whole world. And I need to get this going already. The world has fallen away from what I wanted them to do. Since the beginning of the fall from Adam and Chava from Gan Eden, and then after the Mabel, and everything started to go down, and then the time of Verizar, after the Ben Nimrod, it's been going downwards ever since then. And I need a nation in the world to uplift themselves to my word, so that it can be the beginning of the world getting back to where the world needs to go. So I need you, says Hashem, to accept this on you, to let my Devar Hashem dictate how you live, so that the world will eventually get to where it goes. Ki li kol aretz, and I care about that. And just to quote Hirsch, the relationship into which you are now to enter with me is not an exceptional relationship. Rather, it's the beginning of the renewal of the normal relationship that should exist between me and all the earth. According to their destiny, all mankind and all nations are mine, and I am educating them to become mine. So it's through Klai Yisrael that the world will finally begin to hear the Emes. And how do you do that? You become an Amleches Kohanim in the next pasuk, the Goy Kadosh. The word Kohen. So we Jews, we have our own Kohanim in the base of Mikdash. A Kohen is there to instruct us to live on a higher standard, and a Kohen is there to teach us. He has higher levels of Kedusha that he has to live by, halachos of tumah tahara that we don't have to go by, clothing that he has to wear, all kinds of halachos about a Kohen. And the purpose of the Kohen is to be a guide and instructor of what an elevated life looks like. He represents us. He helps us bring our kavanas to Hashem. And so too, if we're a kingdom of Kohanim, so we too, this higher level of living by the Torah is our being Kohanim for the whole world. Our kingdom of Kohanim. And what is the what is this nature? What does it look like? It's a Goy Kadosh. Kedusha, we have to say about Kedusha, but very briefly, you know, Kedusha always means pollution and arayas. That's by Rashi there, famous Rashi, that by Pashas Kedoshim. But it's more than just the subject of Arayas. Kedusha is in all areas of morality that we live an elevated life. It has to do with how you eat and how you speak and how you walk. And first, there's a lot to say in the full statement of Vayikra about Kedusha. All the chukim of the Torah are there to sensitize us to an elevated kind of life. And he says that mishpatim are a new kind of mishpatim once there's Kedusha. You can't just have holiness. Holiness, the goal of that, Hashem wants to be there to be a world living by his standards. And it's not just feeling holy all day, but it's living down here on earth, interacting with one another in an elevated way. And he says that, Hirsch says it a few places, that's what we say in one of the Halalukas, in Mishpatim Bal Yidon, they don't know Mishpatim. What does that mean, they don't know Mishpatim? Mishpatim are the kind of mitzvahs that everybody knows. That's the mitzvah sichlius that everyone can figure out on their own. It's true, he says, in a number of places, it's true. Mitzvahs are, mishpatim are understood when you think about them. However, there's another level of mishpatim that's expected of Klal Yisrael. And that's after being kadosh through the chukim, into a whole elevated level that Hashem accesses, we're capable of a new level of mishpatim as well. So that's going to set the tone for the world to study, a thriving Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, where everything, when you see the bracha of Hashem, hopefully the world will then catch on. We still haven't gotten there. We haven't managed to do that yet. So we're a work in progress. It's thousands of years in this project. Okay. Anyway, moving right along. Look ahead, please. We're not going to get into the whole series of divos. Maybe next week we'll do some of that. And a nice piece from Hershel now, but not today. Go to Perek Chaf Dalet. So, in Perek Chaf Dalet, so, first says, this is where we picked up, actually, in fact, the test when Moshe is told, it's like an overlap. Moshe is told, now I want you to go up into the thickness of the cloud. So this is where it's happening now. It's like, it's an overlap and it repeats. And our Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Beis is Moshe going up. And Pasuk Gimel. So by Vayavah Moshe, he comes, by Yisaper La'om, Ispol Duvei Hashem. And now he reports everything back, whatever Hashem told him, which is possibly the whole Sefer Parshas Mishpatim, and Hirsch says it's the five sukkim that preceded Parshas Mishpatim, so it's like three prakim plus. According to the Rashi, it's the whole Sefer Bereishis and everything leading up until this point. So he tells everybody that Eis Kol Divrei Hashem, Eis Kol Akol Mishpatim, Bayan Kolam, Kol Achar, all in one voice, Vayom Kol Adon Asher Divrei Hashem Naseh. This is apparently a different Naseh. First they said Naseh to be now, after hearing either all of Bereishis and Hefer Shmos or all of Mishpatim and a few other halachas that they heard in Mara, so they said, Masa, we accept it. The Yichta Moshe has told the Hashem, now he wrote all that. And again, what did he write? According to Rashi, he wrote all the way from the Sefer Bereishis all the way until this point, to the beginning of Perek Chaf Dalet. According to Hirsch, he didn't, I don't know when he wrote Bereishis, but he wrote five spoken preceding Mishpatim, all of Mishpatim until this point. Vayashkin Baboker, Vayivim Mizbeach Tachasahar. Now, Moshe's back down there. Now he builds in Mizbeach. Ushtemasher Matseva, Ushtemasher Shifte Yisrael. And he has 12 monuments representing the 12 Shvatim. So what's the point of these representing Shvatim with monuments? First of all, it can't be representing Klal Yisrael up there. Because they experienced, according to what he just said, they've already heard the whole Aseret HaDibros. They experienced everything. What more did they need to get themselves into the Bris of Hashem? The Hirsch writes that these matzevos that they were built were representing the future generations. The way the Doris, the warrant there, this is the commitment that going forward. And he says, matzevos often do that. He has Eliyahu Navi doing the same thing by Har HaKarmel. He proves it in Malachim, a couple other places where Matseva is there as a testimony for the future. When the next passage by the way, they remember what was committed to. So, and it makes sense. By Yishlach, the Pasuk says, the next Pasuk, by Yishlach is Nari Bina Yisrael. He sends the youth because it's over the next generation. So we're building for the future. By Yalu Olos, they brought Karbanos there. By Yishlach is Bachem, Shlomim, Hashem Parim. So I also wrote Olos and Shlomen, beautiful symbolism, exactly which level of commitment, different time, what Kabbalah said all represent. But listen to what goes on now. Vayikach Moshe, Pasuk Vav, Vayikach Moshe Chatzi Hadam. Moshe takes half the blood, Vayosim Vardanos, he puts it into these basins. Vachatzi Hadam, Zorak, Alam is there. Okay, so he's saving half of it to be used momentarily. Half of the dam of these 12, of the all various Kabbanis, he throws onto the Mizbeach as dedication to Hashem, various ways. And then he reads what he just wrote. This is what he read, either from Rashi, all Sefer Bereishis until that point, according to Hershey, wrote all, he read all of Mishpatim and the deal of them accepting to be Klal Yisrael. And he read the whole thing to them. This is the famous Nasev Nishma. They committed, and now it's Parsha B'Ksav, Parsha B'Hoteh. That's why before it was just explained. Here there's going to be a new level of explanation, Nasev Nishma. The Sabbath about that. That's how he explains it. What happened with the other blood? Yitach Moshe Saddam, the rest of the blood he took, the Yidrok al Ha'am. He threw it on or towards the direction of the people. Ayomen, he says, Hinei Dam HaBris. This is the blood of the covenant, Asher Karas Hashem Imachem Ato HaGram Ela. That Hashem committed to with you about all these words that we just read. You just heard your place in history. You accepted it upon yourself that you are this nation that Hashem needs, and you're going to accept upon yourself whatever it is that Hashem wants. You heard the assurance of divorce, and there's much more coming. Are you committing to this? And they said, in every way, what we did understand, we didn't. Yes, we accepted. To that, Moshe, after they accepted that, throws the blood on them. What is that all about? Okay, so listen to this beautiful thing. Hold on. So he says the following. Every drop of blood, which is represented by the blood of Kabbalah, our energy and our life force is represented by this blood. Every drop of blood, every ounce of energy that we devote to the fulfillment of God's will on earth is given back to us by God. And we attain possession of our true selves only by devoting ourselves to God. The covenantal relationship is a mutual one. We get ourselves back the more we dedicate. It's not what you think, that, well, Hashem just wants us to be mevatel ourselves to the Hashem. The more you put in, the more you find yourself. In light of the foregoing, we can understand what Moshe said upon throwing the blood. He said to them, Hinei Dam HaBris. The Sefer Bris contains the demands that God makes of you. The Dam HaBris, regained by the people, after having been directed towards the Mizbeach, represents Hashem's brachos, which we can expect as a consequence of our complete devotion to the Sefer HaBris. We give it all up to Hashem, and that's the commitment that Hashem gives back to us is the brachos that we see from this. I thought that was a very important thing when you talk about the Dima Tavo, O Malchus Shemayim, to realize you're not losing yourself in the process, you're actually gaining. And when I saw that, it reminded me of something I heard. I'm getting old now. I don't remember seeing this over at a Seder in Borough Park when I was back from a visit from Eretz Yisrael. It was Mamish 40 years ago. So this is a long time ago. It's in Medrash Rabbah, and if you want to find it for yourself, you can look it up. It's in Parshas Bo, Parsha Yotes, in Medrash Rabbah. Deep into, which letter is it? Os Hei. So it's halfway through. There's Machlokes on the word Zos Chukas HaPesach. By the Kotan Pesach, between Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta and the Rabbana. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta says, when Klal Yisrael were about to go out of Mitzrayim, Hashem said, we need to have Kotan Pesach because they need this chosin. And according to Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, they agreed right away. No problem, we're into it, we're going to do this. However, the Rabbana disagreed. Rabbi Seinu Amru, lo bikshu Yisrael lamod in Mitzrayim. They did not want to do this. Elokulam batlu hamila. They all said, no thanks. Vimitzrayim, chutz mishifta shalevi. And then eventually Hashem said, what am I going to do? I want Ha'er Kadosh Baruch Hu mevakesh l'golem. V'lo he'er alehem z'chus. Ma'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what did Hashem do to give him this chus? Karol Moshe. He calls Moshe v'amalo lech u'machos. And go give them a bris mila. Some say with Yeshua, if he says over here. Okay, whoever it was. Okay, let's go with Moshe. V'harbe nehen lo ha'u v'kablan alem. Many of them were not agreeing to do this. Lo ha'u v'kablan alamot. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Sheyasu HaPesach. Hashem says, they got to do the Korban Pesach. The Kivin Shasta Moshe HaPesach, as soon as Moshe did it, Gazar Kodesh Baruch Hu, L'dalid Ruchos HaOlam, Hashem made this decree, that the four winds of the world, the Noshvos B'Gan Eden, they were blowing in Gan Eden, Min HaRuchos B'Gan Eden, from these winds that were blowing in Gan Eden, Hochu V'Nid V'Tubos HaPesach, they went and they stuck to Moshe's Korban Pesach. And it's a pasuk. The Medrash has a pasuk that backs it up. And in a second, and the Reicho Holech Malach Arvayim Yom. This wind was blowing a distance of very intoxicating snow. 40 days, you could smell it from a distance of 40 days. This council called Yisrael. It's a Moshe. Everybody wanted to go have a piece of that. Amar v'vakashnu for hachilemo v'tislacha. V'nei shana shohi la'yetim n'areya. Please, we gotta have a bite of that stuff. We're intoxicated by the snow. Hayom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said back, in Ein Atem Nimaylam, Ein Atem Eichlam. If you don't know Bris Milah, you don't get a taste of that stuff. Shenema, Vayem Hashem HaMoshe, Ravalam, Zos Lukas, that's the rule. Sorry, no Bris Milah, you're not going to get it. Miyad, so immediately, Nasnu Atzman, Umol, right away they accepted it, and they had a Bris Milah, Venis Ari, Dama Pesach, Dama Milah, that's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oiv, V'Nekod, V'Kalecha, V'Echad, Hashem took each one, the Noshko, and he kissed him. Every individual was kissed. Umevarcha, give him a bracha, and that's the pasuk. Barich, Barich Elohim is possessive for the Mai Chayit, that's the Dan Pesach, and the Dan Mila. So what's going on here? What, they didn't want to do it, and they did want to do it, and Hashem kissed them. What's going on? So 40 years ago, I heard from Rav Nata Shoah, one of the Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh, the following explanation. The resistance to Korban Pesach was because Korban Pesach is a Korban Tzibur. The carbon seed were the way in the spirit which you have to give yourself away. And now you belong to the masses. That's what this religion is about. The first, the kickoff of this Judaism is you belong to the masses. And what's the proof of that? That the mitzvah, that's the prerequisite of that is Bris Milah, which you're cutting into this organ which represents your own individuality, your own reproduction, your own personal joy. And you got to cut into that, give yourself up for the sake of the seed war. And they were resisting. Some people said, I don't want to, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in giving myself up for this whole thing. So Hashem took the Reich of Gan Eden. What is Gan Eden? That's the ultimate experience of what the fulfillment is. That's where a human finds himself in what he really ought to be. And Hashem latched that onto the Korban Pesach. And they wanted it, but they couldn't have it because there's this prerequisite. You gotta give yourself up to this idea. When they realize that somehow, I have no idea what the Arvayim Yom is. I don't know what that represents. 40 days, it smelled really good so far. I don't know what that's about. But they were resisting. They thought, okay, fine. If somehow that's the way for us to get this Gan Eden, so we accept that we're going to have to give Mevatel ourselves in the process and give ourselves up for the Tzibur for this whole bigger idea. And what did Hashem do as they're walking on their way? Hashem took each one. I'm looking at the word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the notel kol echad de echad. Hashem took each and every one of them. The noshto, the mevarcha. So Hashem explained that you did not lose your individuality in the process. You thought you would. Hashem picked up each and every one as an individual. When the more you put out, the more you get back. They gave themselves up, and Hashem said, you see, you're going to get the Gan Eden HaTzibur, but you're also going to not lose yourself as a yachid in the process of giving to the Tzibur. Every individual who has a creative something and gives to the Tzibur finds he found himself more as a yachid. It's not just, well, if you're an artist, now do things for Beis Yitzchak. And now you'll feel like you did something good for it. And now you can also be an artist in some other way. No, it's much more than that. You'll find yourself. That'll be the highest form of your individuality. Much more than just being that creative self without this. Dedicating yourself to the Tzibur is where you find yourself in a higher level. So I just thought the two are very similar. This blood that Hashem threw back on us when we, after hearing Matan Torah and we're Mekabel, and this is the bris, we're all in. We want to give every all of our blood, all of our energy, totally to Hashem, and the Hashem's responses, Moshe's responses, you're getting that right back at you. Whatever you put in, that's where you get your life force from.